Okay, I've hit record. I don't know, should we do a sound test or just fucking jump into it?
Oh, sure, let's do a sound test.
All right, give me one. Go, Joe.
Now think about your dad. I want to meet that dad. Doo-doo-doo-doo.
That's good, good. Speaking of dad's dad, you got a sound test for us just so I can see your levels, see how they're coming through?
Yes, this is your father speaking at a normal voice.
That's perfect. Hey, Tin Tim, you going to give me a test here?
Yeah, so I'm testing.
Yeah, that's testing. Good. Yeah, you, oof, that is tasty. It's no wonder you're a father. I'd hit that. I guess that counts as my test, so, yeah.
Welcome, one and all. Probably just one, maybe not. But if it is just one, it would be Ian. Welcome, Ian, to Just Be Cousins. My name is Joe Neal. This is Jason Mark. We also have the Timedian and Danger Lee Daniels Jr., the third, Esquire. This show will be very, very daddy-o. Welcome all dads, and probably, hopefully, no moms, to Just Because.
Why hopefully no moms?
I've told you many times before, this show, the humor, if I were sitting in the same room with my mom and she was listening to one of the shows, I would crawl up my own ass.
Okay, fair enough.
That's all I'm saying. It's not that I don't want to share what we do. No, that's exactly what it is. I don't want to share what we do with our moms.
Yeah,
specifically our moms.
Yeah.
Tim, your mom, fair game.
Well, your mom still owes me $20 indefinitely.
Okay. Indefinitely? What for? What did you do for Joe's mom for $20?
Plenty of things that I probably shouldn't talk about just in case Joe's mom ever listens to the show.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
She still owes me $20, I'm pretty sure.
$20.
It has to do with, you know, sexual favors and, you know, money was exchanged, but not quite enough. And then one person owes the other one, and then the other one owes the other. And usually it's around $20. Like, sometimes it's $35.75. But you know, every time I talk to Tim, he's got some sort of, you know, financial balance with my mom or my mom with him. And anyway, enough about moms. This is the Father's Day show.
Welcome, Father's Day. Hey, I'm going to interrupt the father thing real quick, Joe. You know what we forgot to mention last week?
What?
We're not recording on Fridays. We're recording on Mondays now.
Yeah.
We didn't even bother telling people. Like last week, they're all like, do we get the episode early? Is it super late? No, it's just the thing. Anyway, I just wanted to say that. Mondays, welcome to Mondays. We're having the Dad's Day show the day after Dad's Day.
Mm-hmm. I'm hearing like metal in the background. Is that just me? Am I hallucinating?
That may be the television.
That's my dad's wife, who's also my mom. What show is she watching? Dad, what show is she watching?
Straight, your mom is listening to metal in the other room.
No, she's watching TV. What show is she watching, Dad?
Headbangers Ball, MTV.
Whose line is it anyway?
Oh, okay.
Great show.
Yeah, it's a good show. Dads love that show because it's got puns, and dads are all about the puns, right?
I love puns.
Yeah.
Super punny.
They're super punny. So,
you know,
this,
to jump right into it, well, you know what did you have? What did you have for ideas, Jason? I'm coming in here.
You got stuff?
Nothing.
I want to talk about what I'm drinking, honestly.
All right.
It got nothing much to do with dads, but I'm kind of proud of it. So yesterday for Father's Day, I woke up and, you know, worked in the yard and crap like that. And then I got one of those Instapots. You know the Instapot? You've heard of this? Everybody? It's like
Instapot?
Yeah.
Is that where you tell some sort of magic? Oh, my God. Never mind. Tell your joke. I got nothing here. Tell your joke. It's Instapot.
It's Instapot. It's not a joke. It's this thing. It's like a crock pot. It was like a crock pot, but it's like a pressure cooker. It seals. And I threw some chicken wings in there, and 15 minutes later, they were done. And I slathered them with barbecue sauce, and I put them in the broiler, and 5 minutes later, they were done. And then I ate them, and 5 minutes later, they were gone. And then I chased my son around the Play Factory Funtorium, which is one of those, you know, toddler gyms where, like, they've got different, like, you know, like at McDonald's, they've got the play area with the tubes and shit. You know what I'm talking about?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
This is like that, but way more of it. So I chased him around that. And then we went to a restaurant called Beers, Burgers, and Breakfast, 3B, it's called, where you can get, yeah, you can get burgers, you can get flapjacks, you can get beer. So I got all that stuff. And then, and also while I was there, I got a Moscow Mule. And I don't know about you guys, but for me, Moscow Classic. Mule is like, oh, such a great summer drink. And I decided, you know what? That was so good. I'm going to have one for the show today. But we don't have any vodka in the house. We do have, however, some spiced rum, which I've talked about on the show before, that was given to me by lesbians. So I made, I took the spiced rum that was given to me by lesbians. I took some ginger beer and some muddled limes. And instead of a Moscow Mule, I have what's called a Cuban Mule. But here's the thing. Because it's spiced and because it came from lesbians, I'm calling it the Spiced Lesbian Cuban Mule, or the SCLM, or the SLCM, or the Solicum. I'm calling it the Solicum.
I'm certain that that was hilarious, but I couldn't hear any of it.
Oh, no, why not?
I got cut out, too.
Really? Well,
hey, look, if your levels were good, then I get to hear the joke tomorrow. Everything's fine.
Not even a joke. Look, okay. Only people...
See, you keep just talking about reality, and I think that you're...
It's not even, I mean, well, if you guys don't laugh, there's no point. The only reason people laugh when they listen to this podcast is because we're laughing. So if you don't laugh, just fake it, for Christ's sake.
All right, we're having trouble here. I'm not the consummate professional that I never am, but I'm trying my best.
No, you're all right.
Instapot. Is that when you snap your fingers and then you have a joint in your hand? Oh, God.
Jason.
Yes, Tim.
Waka fucking waka. All right, that was genuine.
Enough about me. My dad and I have chicken wings in common. It's something we both love. Do you guys have something in common with your dads that you both love? What's your connection? Tim, what's your connection with your dad? Or your son? Or your daughter?
Connection with my dad is what we have in common is that we don't see each other.
Okay. All right.
So, but when we do.
Yeah.
It's usually on epic, you know, scales of just having a good time and enjoying drinks and just, you know, avoiding obvious conversation like, where the hell were you?
Now, you're talking about conversations with your father, not your child.
My dad. We avoid those kind of conversations, but I have a great relationship with my dad. I called him yesterday, and then he texted me back and said, you know, sorry, my phone's all fucked up. That was his text, and I'll call you when I get to the house. And I said, oh, I just wanted to make sure this was still your cell phone number, and then that happy Father's Day. I'm good.
Okay. Yeah,
we did it. But as far as me and my son, we play pool together.
Nice.
You know, he's a good pool player. We dance together. He's a great dancer. We literally, if I can rip him from the games and the gaming, he's freaking hilarious. If I force him not to play video games, he is just highly entertaining. And all we do is just like sit around and family, and it's precious. And my daughter, she self-entertains herself and just sings and dances all around the house. It's great.
So it sounds like
your son is a dancer, a pool player, a comedian, and a video game player. It sounds like he's a drip off the old cock.
Well, the turd doesn't fall far from the ass.
Oh my God. That's true.
The turd doesn't fall far from the ass? Wow. Woo. Okay, now we're moving.
We are. And this is, yeah.
Lee Daniels? Danger, yes. Lee Daniels Jr.?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Hey.
Oh, yeah.
Danger Lee Daniels, I wanted to ask you and my uncle, who's your brother? He's also Joey's dad.
Yes.
if you guys had any anecdotes shared, yeah, nailed it, that you shared about your father, who, for the sake of this show, I'm going to call Good Time Gordon. That's not very fun. How about Jaunty Jack? No. You come up with a name for him.
We talking about our grandfather?
Yeah.
Smiling Jack.
Smiling Jack.
That's what he was actually called.
That's not even funny, but yes,
oh, really?
Good job.
That's actually what they called him, Smiling Jack.
No shit.
He was smiling always Jack. Smiling. What I don't.
If you take a look at the old cartoon, you know, way back, because this was even before my time, there was a cartoon called Smiling Jack. It looked like your granddad.
Wow. Is this one of the cartoons that the rats used to read you from the funny papers when you were a child, Dan?
That's true, yes.
Okay.
Right, I'm looking at Smiling Jack.
But you said, is there something, what was that again?
Really? This
I was just going to say, you had told me a story, the first time you were on the podcast, you told us a story about how you were so, your childhood was so, how did you put it? I said, I understand that you lived in poverty, Dan, when you were a child. Is that an exaggeration?
And you said, no, it's not quite accurate, because we didn't always live in poverty. For I think about the first 10 years, it was much worse than that.
Right.
We finally got a little money coming in, and we moved up to abject poverty. And
poverty was something that you aspired to.
That's right. We used to watch TV shows about people who were impoverished and go, wow, yeah, okay. Got that to go, you know, to look forward to.
Well, see, the last time you went all the way when you were like, well, you know, we were too poor to learn how to read, but the rats in our house would read newspapers to us.
Yeah, they actually, they hung out in a nearby university, and they would come over. They were very educated rats, and so we were thankful to have them.
But Smiling Jack was Smiling in the Jack, funny yes. papers back then.
I'm looking right now at pictures of Smiling Jack, and first of all, he's not smiling. He's smirking. And I guess smirking like a shit eater Sam was taken. So it was Smiling yeah. Jack. He looks nothing like my grandfather. Nothing. Is this the way granddad looked when he was a
Gary
kid?
Was already taken?
Yeah, there you go.
Well, you know, our dad would say inspiring things to my brother and I. I remember one time I was trying to do something and it wasn't going well. And he looked at me and said, Dan, you know, you're not too good, but you're slow. And that stayed with me. All my life, because if you can't do it right, God's sake, don't do it fast.
Yeah, I think that's a great piece of advice, except when I'm with my lady, I wish that I could. Anyway, I am a dad, though, so I guess it worked once. Anyway.
Well, guys, you know, I wish that my dad were here.
Yeah, I could keep trying
to call
him.
Maybe I should have invited him. Maybe this is a subconscious effort, because maybe I'm sick of his shit.
Could be.
Wow. Or maybe.
Did you call him yesterday, Joe? Did you give him a call?
Did you hear that, Dad? Yeah, I called him on Father's Day.
Yeah.
But we talked about something else. I knew we were recording tonight. I forgot to bring up that we were recording tonight on Father's Day. See, somehow I pulled off. I gave him a gift. I called him on Father's Day, and I didn't invite him to the JBC Father's Day show. And maybe that's yet another. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe I'm looking at this wrong. JBC is pretty disastrous, kind of a piece of shit. Why should I include my father? And Jason, why have you included your father in this?
So I'm not feeling as good as I was a little bit earlier right now.
It's because you asked me to, Joe.
Really,
you know, one of the running themes of this show is that it's not a good show, Dan.
Yeah,
so, it's always a good show.
You know, and I consider you a good comedian, and you too, comedian. So what are we doing to your reputations here? That's all I'm saying. I'd like to apologize to you both, and to Jason and to my father.
Yes, he is.
You are doing absolutely nothing to my reputation because nobody's listening.
Actually, Tim, to medium, I'm about to blow your mind. For 1 week, we were number 34 on the Irish comedy podcast chart.
So fucking proud of you.
I am not even lying.
I'm dancing a jig right now.
You should dance an Irish jig because we're not there anymore. 34 or 38, but top 40.
Even more important is the Irish comedy chart finally got a 34th entry. I think that is fantastic. Because I thought they were going to tank, but they're starting to rock.
I'm just glad that Jason's finally trying to blow Tim's mind instead of, you know, the normal endeavor.
Hey, look, you have 15 Mai Tais and get with that sexy man and tell me you're not going to blow him, okay? I'd like to see you, Joe, with your morals and crap. I don't know what I'm saying.
Okay, cock blown. All right. Move on.
I'd like to hear more about Tim, though. So, So where do you perform, Tim?
In my living room with my family on a daily basis when I'm not working constantly. So most of my comedy is definitely freestyle, bouncing off of my children and my wife. And even some of the comedy that I do is when I'm actually trying to discipline my children, and apparently that's when I am the funniest. And I learned this just recently because my son got into a fight in school, okay? Oh. But he has a reputation for sticking up for people that are being bullied because he's a good roaster. So these big kids are roasting these other kids, and Nash will step in and be like, you know, look at you, porcupine head, you know, whatever, trying to step in. And this, and then he has this bully that he's been like kind of going back and forth with words throughout the entire school year, and at the end of it, he was the one that got caught on tape taking a swing at the kid, even though he's tells me, and I believe him, that the kid was pushing him first, and it escalated, so I had to be Big Daddy and come in and actually talk to the principal, who did confirm that Nash has a great reputation for, you know, sticking up for kids in the school, and he's got a great character, which he didn't get from me. I didn't teach him that. I'm very proud of that. But eventually it's going to come back to you. However, he got caught throwing the first punch, so I had to be the dad. So when I finally was like, going to have to sit him down and be like, hey, man, I've never actually laid a hand on you, but I'm, you know, if you really want to, like, test me, I'm going to have to, like, you know, do this. And you need to prove to me that you're going to be, you know, straight and narrow. You're going to get off these video games. You're going to be getting into extracurricular activities. And I go, if you test me, I'm trying to be as serious as possible. And I go, if you test me, I will lay you over my knee and I will pull down your pants. And I will whoop your fucking ass like a civilized human being. And Beth lost her shit and just started laughing. And Nash didn't want to. But it's just how I delivered it in the moment. And sometimes when I deliver things like that, because we're a colorful family. I don't hide verbiage. But whenever I'm actually trying to discipline and be most serious to my children, that's usually where I get my biggest laughs.
Your story made my mom laugh. So, yeah.
When I tell my son that I'm going to sit you down calmly and I'm going to pull your pants down and whoop your ass like a civilized human being, delivered in that way sometimes can be considered hilarious to my family.
On a serious note, for what it's worth, Tim, I hope that I teach my kid to be the one who... Sorry, I can't help but laugh at my mom in the background. I hope my kid
she's going completely nuts down there.
If my kid ends up being the guy who sticks up for other kids, I mean, you as a dad, as far as I'm concerned, success. I mean, yeah, your kid got into a fight, and you did what you had to do to be a dad. That's great. But honestly, seriously, good on you that you raised a son who sticks up for other people. That's the bee's knees right there. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you, Tim Median.
And I would like to add just one thing. Mm-hmm. If you ever need somebody to open for you in your living room, I'm available.
Can my dad get a feature in your living room?
It's kind of sparse up here in the hills, and I'm looking for a gig right now. Sounds good.
Dan, you can open. I'll be the middle. middle at the show.
This
and
is
then
great.
We'll have Tim come in because clearly he's a fucking hit with that crowd.
Yeah.
We'll try and warm him up a little bit, but it'll mostly be like, who the fuck is that guy?
Can I be the MC? Is that cool with you guys?
Oh, no, you're not invited.
Oh. Okay, then let's do this. All right, so...
No, you play arenas and shit. Like, this is... Come on, we're trying to put on... Don't step on our shit.
Is arena... is you play arena a euphemism for... Gosh, you jack off a lot. Because I'm hoping that's not what you mean. Well, that's pretty accurate. I'm just guessing. I'm asking. I don't know.
Well, that seems like a hardcore sexual euphemism, but I can't wrap my spooge around it.
I was going to say, if you can't wrap your hand around it, Joe, it's because, well, yeah.
The reason, all right, you know what, anyway. Jason? We tried our best.
We did. We sure did.
Good job. Good night, everyone. No, I'm just kidding.
Good night. No. Let's talk about some dad stuff. So we heard a really good dad story from Tamedian about how he threatened to beat his child. I'm constantly threatening to beat my child. Dad, I remember one time my dad got mad at me at a bowling alley because I wouldn't go into the kids' playroom, so he punched me in the stomach. And then another time we were roller skating, he fell on top of me. A 300-pound man fell on top of a 75-pound child.
I believe I was 220 at that time.
Oh, were you? Okay, sorry. Come on, dude.
Just wanna straighten that out the record.
Yeah. Do you remember that, Dad? You remember when you fell on top of me roller skating?
Oh, I did. Yeah. You know, I used to roller skate all the time when I was about the age you were when we were roller skating.
Yeah.
But I forgot that was 20 some years ago, and fell flat on your ass.
Yeah, you did. I was squashed. I know what roller rink floors taste like. And I will never forget, because
tastes like your dad's ass.
They do, yeah. They do, yeah. It's true. So, but you know, not to call you out, Joe, but you're not a dad, but you do have pets. Do you feel like a father to your pets?
Well, listen, I got a Marco Polo. Are you guys familiar with Marco Polo?
The explorer.
Well, no, that would
be
a
video app.
The game.
It's an app.
Oh,
yes,
no.
I am familiar with that. Yes.
I'm not.
Yeah,
what is
so
it?
So you send video texts, basically, and you know, what? Go back and forth on a text. And
wait, no,
I
explain this
happy
to me.
Video Father's Day.
Video texts?
Video texts.
I don't know this. I'm the Luddite in the group. What's a video text? That sounds like an oxymoron.
Yeah, I said, do you know what Marco Polo is? And you were like, yeah, it's a famous explorer. And I was like, no. You're the fucking Luddite, Jason.
Dude, Joe, you sounded just like your dad just now. I mean, to your credit.
Well, happy Father's Day, Dad. Yeah. I'm ripping off his humor all the time. I'm glad that you catch that. Let me tell you, I got a Father's Day Marco Polo from Tim.
All right.
And he had his son on the video, and he successfully made his son spit out his Coca-Cola or something. Oh, here it is.
Are you playing it now?
Is this it, Tim?
Tell me more. Why? Who's this?
That's Uncle Joey.
Oh. Hey, Joe. It's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. That little fucker, fur baby of yours.
Talking about my dog.
You're a dad. No, your child licks himself. Shits in the yard. Smells your crotch. Actually, your children are very similar to mine.
So that was my Father's Day message. And I saw Tim make his son spit out his Coca-Cola. It was wonderful.
He did. It was great. I don't even remember doing that. That was awesome.
That's awesome, yeah.
Joe, you are a dad. You've got a fur baby. That licks itself, shits in the yard, smells your crotch. Okay, so your kids are a lot like mine. Like, wow,
that's awesome. Do you, Joe? You have a dog and a cat, like two cats. How many cats do you have?
Well, yeah, I mean, you've met them all. One of them is really hard to meet because it only comes out at night and it's jet black. So, yeah.
Vampire cat.
Yeah. It would be counted absent at night school.
Which one is the cat that ate in my that stole my shoe?
Oh, that's not the cat. That's
the
dog.
Oh, the dog stole my shoe. What's the dog's name? Jesus Barking Christ?
JBC. Jesus Barking Christ.
Jesus Barking Christ. Right. That's right. Okay. So do you feel like a dad to them? Like, do you think like your experience with these animals has prepared you? If someday you and Pauline accidentally have, what do you call it, intercourse?
Ooh.
Are you ready to be a dad?
That's the sound I make when we actually do make intercourse.
I was going to say, ooh.
Ooh.
No, that's not the sound you make. God, this is the sound you make. That's the sound you make, Joe.
No, I make the R2-D2 noise.
Oh, do you?
Climax.
I don't have that part queued up. Sorry. Stupid.
You don't have that as a button?
This is the sound that Pauline makes.
Okay, well, goddamn. Luckily, my wife rarely ever listens to episodes.
Oh, boy.
When
anyway.
She does, I mean, it's luck of the draw, really, but I think we're going to get lucky this time.
Fingers crossed.
I would be in trouble for that, for sure.
But my question, though, I don't like to ask people.
You're not getting lucky, obviously.
Yeah. Not going to happen.
Not going to get lucky. Very good. Yeah. What was your question, Jason?
I don't like to ask people, as a general, I don't like to ask people if they're going to have kids, but I figure, you know, Joe, you and I are close, and it is a Father's Day episode, so I'm not going to ask you if you're going to have kids. I'm going to ask you, do you think you could be a father?
I think I'd be an okay dad.
Okay,
do,
so you're fucking wrong.
That's not really based on...
You are wrong. Sorry, I'm cutting you off right now. Tim can corroborate this, and so can my father. No one can be a good dad. No one. Guys, am I right or am I wrong?
Better?
I mean, obviously, they're, you know... Let's look at it like this. There is, you know, since there is no God, but there's a book written on being a father, there's no way that you could ever be the best father in the world ever, because in the best my most favorite, like, quote of all time, and it's from a Friends episode, and it's Chandler, and he said, you know what, it is my God-given right to fuck up my kids in my own special little way, short of the whole fuck in there, but like, that is the truth. That is the truth.
It is
my God-given right to mess my kids up in my own special way.
Yeah.
That's probably the best way to really go into the whole fathering, because then you put the bar down, so then you're just like, you know, you put the bar there, and you can only do better from there.
Well, I expect that all fathers make mistakes, and you know,
and you know what?
All
and
being
and
human
that's,
men, but
that's
let,
our
me,
job.
Let me tell you,
it is.
I think that you guys are
also,
all good fathers.
And if you are going to have children, it's not because you decide to. Usually, I'm convinced because, I mean, I was not a mistake, but I was a nice surprise. And Nash wasn't a mistake, but he was a surprise.
Yeah.
Mackenzie wasn't a mistake. But surprise, you know, I had really no choice in this matter. These children wanted to live, and now they exist. And you could call that whatever you want.
Yeah.
But if they want to be there, Joey, they're coming for you. And then you have to freaking, like, put up with it and figure it out on your own. But you're going to be great.
I guess that's one way you could put it.
Well, I always like when people say, hey, do you think you're going to be a good dad? Like, you know, you've had a little practice with the dog and everything. And I think about what Joe Rogan said. Joe Rogan was like, well, I had a dog, and, you know, everybody has, you know, when they have a dog and they've never had a kid, they're like, I love my dog more than anything ever. Like, I love my dog. And then Joe Rogan's like, and then my sister had a kid. And then she said to me, you think you love your dog? That's fucking bullshit. So... That's my understanding of the love that one has for a child versus the love that one has for a dog, though I guess the pinnacle of my love is represented or kind of exemplified in my relationship with my dog. So I have a couple more notches. If I have a kid, then I'm going to actually understand real love.
Well, the thing about your dog is your dog can't call you an asshole. He can look at you and make you think he's thinking that you're an asshole, but he can't actually say it in words. Your kid can, and he will. If you're not doing your job right, he might not, but if you're doing your job right, he will, which is exactly what Tim and Chandler are talking about, I think.
Yes.
Well, by the way, Dad, you're an asshole. See, I just need to get that out there. Just to...
Well, I understand. Well, I was going to just say that the thing about being a dad is you have only one responsibility. You have to be an example for your children. Now, the example you choose to be, of course, could be a bad example. That's certainly acceptable. You know, just be an example. give them a shot at seeing what can happen. And then they make up their own mind whether they want that to happen or not. And that's your whole job.
Yeah, pretty much. I'd agree.
Yeah.
In a nutshell.
I think you did a good job.
One other thing is that we're doing a lot of comparison between you know, like what you call the fur babies and then like human babies. And there is, and I didn't realize that at first, that there is a lot of similarities, but there are some differences. For instance, when I tried to have Jason spayed, I found out that you can't do that, and nobody told me that. And but there
are you can have a nice bris.
Yeah.
But Bob Barker would have been very proud of you, though.
So one of the reasons, Dad, why you had trouble spaying me is because I have a penis. And you spay females, Dad. And that's where you fucked up.
Oh, damn it.
You see, you never had a dog. So nobody told me this.
So if you had that joke to do over again, Dad, we would be talking about neutering, Jason.
Yeah, I'd say neutering.
And then my Jewish joke would have been a little bit better too. You know, we're all doing our best here.
We are doing our best. Hey, speaking of doing our best,
he wishes you were the daughter that he may have, but wish you were.
No, that's true. Jason knows that.
It's true.
That's
they were gonna
two children because Jason was a boy.
Yeah, and they tried again, and my brother was born. And like, oh fuck this, we're done with these little shits.
Just hung it up after that.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of little shits. And turns not falling from the tree. Real quick, we're at minute 31. I want to real quick pay for the episode. Can I do that real quick? It won't take long, I promise.
I have three commissials.
I mean, you have three commercials too. All right, great. Hey, let me
I'm going to grab a beer, guys.
Grab a beer. I'm going to pay for this. It's just a real quick little ad here. This episode is brought to you by Trojan Brand Condoms because some of you assholes have no business being fathers. And it's also brought to you by Larco's new anti-paternity test DNA-changing serum. Don't let that slightly overweight blonde you hooked up with in Vegas blasted out of your school ruin your life just because you ruined hers. Put the no way in DNA with Larco's anti-paternity test DNA-changing serum. All right, thanks for... Thanks for that, guys. Appreciate it. We had a little pay for the episode. Dad, you also had
I've written three very short ones. Very short ones.
Okay, let's just put the curtain back up. Did you write these, or did the people who asked you to advertise on our show write them for you, or did they ask you to write them? I mean, you wrote them.
It depends. If you like them, I wrote them. If they suck, the people who sponsored this show wrote them and forced me to say them.
Yeah. Okay. Let's continue dry humping the fourth wall. Go. Yeah.
Okay. This show is brought to you by Liquid Erection. Pour yourself a stiff one. Okay. Now I'm motivated. This show brought to you by Fiber None, the only energy bar made completely of fat. And this is the last one. Gas Mix. Fart in Spanish with Gas Mix. Silencio, pero mortal.
You know what I hate about our show, Joe?
Bravo.
You know what I hate about our show?
What's that?
Every motherfucker that comes on our show should be doing their own goddamn podcast.
I totally agree.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Okay. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah. Being a dad. So, Joe, you think you'd be a good dad? I'm inclined to agree with you. You're a smart guy. You're sensitive. You've got a decent house, decent job. I mean, basically, that's what it takes to be a dad, right? I mean,
I guess so. It's a little bit of a problem that I'm a malignant sociopath, but you know, we can kind of circumvent that.
And then there's also your age.
Yeah, that's a problem too.
You're an old motherfucker. Hey, I was 45 when I had my kids. So,
I mean, men stay making babies way longer than women.
That's true.
Actually, you give birth, and you married young. You're good.
Exactly. You married a young one, so she'll be fertile for a while.
Yeah, but I age really quickly. I know that I just turned 40 and everything, but you guys saw me like I'm degrading kind of quickly. I mean,
you are.
Dan is a little bit older than I am, you know, but I think he's in better physical health and he's more emotionally stable and he's more mentally with it than I am. And I've just turned 40. So
Joey,
that's not a good, sign.
Joey, do we need to talk? Okay? I mean, I'm here for you, brother. I mean,
yeah,
thanks.
If you need a friend, you're fine. You lost some hair, asshole. Get over it. You grew it on your face. It just went from top to bottom. You're good. You look great.
Hey, speaking of bottom.
Bucks, you got a hot wife.
Dad.
Go get her.
Dad, don't you have a joke about the butt mullet? What's that joke you wrote about the butt mullet?
Well, I said that I've got more hair on my ass than I do on my head, and I said that's a comb over you don't want to see.
There we go. Yeah,
it's nature's mullet. Fun in the front and none of your goddamn business in the back.
That's right.
All right, I really am going to get a beer, but don't stop being funny, guys.
Okay,
I love it. Okay, now you're funny. Now you're angry. Now you're sexy.
So.
Okay.
So on a honest note here, in terms of being a dad, I have a son. He's 2.5 years old, and I am really looking forward. I love my kid, but I'm really looking forward to when he's old enough that I can ship him off to see grandma, grandpa, ship him off to go hang out with Uncle Tomedian, ship him off to go hang out with Uncle Joe, and give Joe a taste of what he's up against. What's the age where you can put him on a plane and not fucking worry about him anymore? How old?
Never.
43.
Okay.
43. That's a good number. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because by that time they'll stop hitting on the stewardesses.
Okay. Okay.
As much.
And Tim said. Tim said never. Tim, can I ask how old Nash is?
He's 12.
He's 12. So would you be okay with like putting him on a plane and say, Dash, you're gonna go see your uncle XYZ. Let's say Joe. You're gonna sit him down, and hang out with Joe for.
For his birthday, he wants to take a trip to Colorado to go see Uncle Marcus, so he will take him hunting. Like, this is really happening. Like,
that's really happen?
Happening. It's like,
see, everybody loves Uncle Marcus better than Uncle Joey.
I would send my kid to see Uncle Marcus. Marcus scares me. I mean, in a good way. Like, I respect Marcus because I'm pretty sure he could kick my ass just because I might even need it. I might need Marcus to just show up and fight club my ass for a couple weeks just to make me a better man. And I'd send my kid. I would.
Yes.
I'd send my kid. I'd be like, hey, you're going to hang out with Uncle Marcus. Who's this guy? He's just a cool guy. He's down to earth. He knows his shit. Go hang out with him. You'll go shoot some fucking pheasants or ducks or deer or something. I don't give a fuck. Just go.
He really is a man's man. By the way, Uncle.
He's Mr. Railsville.
Yeah. Uncle Lee Daniels, Danger Lee Daniels Jr. You met him. He was the best man at my wedding.
Yeah.
I thought I met him. I remember the name, Marcus. Yeah.
He gave this great speech.
Tall, dark hair?
Yeah. He gave a really great speech at your wedding, Joe. He's like, he said he had like an existential crisis, and he told his wife, I'm going to go see Joe. And you took care of him, and I just love that story. It's a good story.
I had a good speech at that wedding.
You also did to me.
That's true.
You did, yeah. But you know, Tim, I got to say, you're kind of a natural, so it's like you don't get kudos for being good at what you're already good at. You know what I'm saying?
Your reputation precedes you.
Yeah. Like you show
Marcus's
up, Tim, and we're like, yeah, he's funny.
Also precedes him, but that is that of a man's man, a really tough guy, and he kind of got vulnerable there, so we didn't expect
little bit.
It.
A little bit. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah, actually, Dad, you met him also. You met both these gentlemen at Joe's bachelor's party.
That's where I thought I remembered him from most. Yeah. He's the guy that organized it, right?
Marcus organized it. And you remember Tim was the one mixing all the drinks, if you recall.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And Tim was the one that was bursting into marvelous dance moves and
that's also
just
true.
Making everybody's jaw drop.
Yeah.
Who was the one that played the guitar?
Oh, that's Colby, but that was at the
that was the
bachelor party.
Yeah. is Colby a father by any chance?
Yes.
Yeah, he is.
He is. And what's that kid got in store for him?
Does he know the names of
any little girls?
Two little girls. Look, I like Colby. He's a nice guy and the fucker's so talented I want to punch him in the face, but
every time.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's
so
a damn good guitar
he's
player.
He's so good.
Yeah.
He's just retarded talented.
And that kind of on the dad subject, do you think it's more important to be like a wholesome, well-rounded dad or to be like a who's the guitar player for Van Halen? Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah.
I'm drunk.
I got there.
It like Colby is so fucking talented that like any kid he has, I'd be like, "Hey, you want to play guitar? Hey, you want to get into music? Like, just, it's in your genes, right? But, I mean, what would you rather have for a kid? A super talented dad so you can pass on the genetics or just, like, a nice dad it takes him to, like, ball games and buy some cotton candy and shit.
I think a father, as I said before, you know, you need to help your son develop to the best he can be. And if you're really great and kind and hardworking, you set the bar so friggin' high the kid will probably be an alcoholic. What you really need to do is just be a total asshole fuck up, and then basically they got it made from that point on. Because, you know, it ain't hard to be better than your dad.
Okay.
And that's kind of my take on it.
Yeah.
And that's basically what I'm doing.
That's what you're doing.
And it's working very well for me. However, in Colby's position, he has two daughters and no son, and he's a womanizing rock star.
Yeah.
So,
well, he
hopefully
used to be. I don't know. I'm out of touch with Colby. And Colby, I hope you're not listening to this. Actually, I hope you are listening.
I hope you are listening to this. Colby, what are you talking about? We love him to death because of who he is and what he does. And he's kept it. This is Dave Chappelle, right? When keeping it real goes wrong. But you know what? He's still freaking doing it. And is it wrong or right? No.
As I understand, he still is on tour with a band. And
he's doing exactly what he should.
What's the name of the band? I will go see them if they ever come to Seattle, Texas.
His band is called The Weathered Feather.
I'm going to go look them up, because if they're in Seattle, Texas, I'm going to go see them.
And they're damn good. I mean,
and it's like Colby anthem music, and it's freaking great.
That's awesome. No, but like, Irish recently read a book called The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. And just on a side note, it was actually The Subtle Art of Not Giving an F*CK, as if the author was like, didn't want to offend people with the word fuck. But it's like, well, if you don't give a fuck, why did you censor the word fuck? But anyway,
I never thought about that.
Moving on.
Never thought about
that. The introduction
clearly
talks about,
gave too much of a fuck.
Little bit, yeah. The introduction talks about Charles Bukowski and how he was 100% loser and he knew it because he didn't give a fuck. But he wrote this brilliant stuff, right? And I'm thinking about Colby, like, on some level, yeah, he's kind of a, I mean, I don't know him that well to call him a fuck up. But
he's
shouldn't
a free
be that
spirit, man.
He's a free spirit.
He's had moments when we were younger. I was reading Bukowski at that time, and then I would look up and see the antics of Colby, and I'd be like, oh, Colby's kind of Bukowski-ish.
Yeah, Colby like, don't give a fuck, and Colby is good at what he does, so I admire that about him. And the Weathered Feather.
In the band's picture, he's wearing a T-shirt with an eagle on it and his hat's on backwards.
Is it? Well,
sounds like
go.
Colby.
And this man also has never really worked a day in his life, and he is surviving quite fine.
Well, I mean,
you know, he's surviving well. Like, he gets around, he's touring, he's Colby, man. Like, he's not your average human being.
I want to go back to the, okay, is it better to have, like, a really kind and attentive dad, or like some super talented dad where the genes just come through and all of a sudden you're super talented, but maybe your relationship with your dad isn't so good. Well, I don't know what Colby's relationship is with his daughters, but, and I don't know what their level of talent is musically, but I have a feeling that both of those girls, if they farted, it sounded like a beatbox. And when they said daddy for the first time, they said it a few times and it was on beat with their farts.
Okay. Fair enough.
That's all I'm saying. Right out of nowhere, like, you should have just hit record in the studio. That's just how talented I think those kids are. Probably.
And just to give Colby the credit, because it became the Colby Show, like, for just one second, the most amazing thing I ever saw him do, because he's a string guy and he can play anything with a string, and he never freaking like played a violin in his life. And
I was
he had a viola, and he said, "Hey girl, can I hit that git fiddle one time?" And she was like,
"He called it a git fiddle."
She was like, "Okay." And then he grabbed it and the bow and just started.
It wasn't that good. It was better.
Yeah, it was way better. I mean, what? I'm just saying, he just tore it up and never touched a bow onto strings ever and played it better than she will never, ever play it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Colby.
Colby.
But
Dad of the year.
But as a dad, so hopefully, see, I think, not that this is the Mother's Day episode, but I think that like a mother's job in some respect is to mitigate the assholefulness of the dad. And I'm not saying that Colby's an asshole, but, you know, in terms of like being there for his kids and shit and whatever. But hopefully their mother is like there and does the mother thing and sacrifices her life to make their lives better. And then they inherited his genetics and they'll be able to pick up a viola and go ding ling ding ling ding ling ling ling. Whatever you said to me.
You know what's rad in my situation? Because my talents are very limited and I married good stock and my wife is like probably the most, you know, talented person in the area. She's blowing up right now in Melbourne. She's just like, she's at the prime of her singing and just like acting. She's just fucking crushing it, like topping the charts like a dildo crashing in the sun. And my children don't even, you know, Nash, he doesn't even, thank you. And he like doesn't even try, but he'll like do drama and stuff. And last year, he ended up getting the best performance for the lead role in both of the plays that he was in, and he doesn't even like try and doesn't even like care. It's not even like his interest really. And and my daughter, like I told you, all she does is just freestyle sings and dances all around the house all day long. She's my freestyle artist. And it's just there. Like my wife's like totally in there. And so I just sit there and go, wow. And then I try and make them laugh when I discipline them. And they just laugh at me like I don't count.
And you spank their asses?
Threaten to whoop ass like a civilized human being.
So clearly,
go, no, you're not, Dad. No, you're
comedian,
not.
Comedian, your wife gave them the genetical predisposition to be talented motherfuckers. And your job is to give them the trauma off of which they can build the inspiration to write or perform brilliant pieces of brilliant.
I'd just like to say, Beth, happy Father's Day.
So, Joe, let me ask you this, and I'm going to ask my dad this as well. But, Joe, what, in your opinion, is your dad's proudest moment of you, like, or for you, whatever the preposition is? What's your dad's? If you had to ask your dad, what is he most proud about you for? God damn it. These solicums are strong. I am plastered. Dad, this hopefully is not your proudest moment of me. But, Joe, what is your proudest? What is your dad's? I asked the question. Answer it.
Oh, no. I've got it. Go. Here's the thing. I think it's a tie between me becoming the best Taco Bell manager of the third best Taco Bell in Davenport, Iowa.
I hear you.
Out of four Taco Bells.
Yeah.
He was beaming with pride.
Okay.
When that happened. Beaming.
As well
beaming
he should.
With pride.
Yeah.
Yeah. But let me tell you, this one might have topped it. I don't know. Maybe this is just a straight up tie, but you can hear it on one of the podcasts. He heard the winner for the best montage in 2017 from JBC.
Yeah.
Was Clusterfuck 2, You Motherfucker You. And he actually said, "That's my boy." And when it comes to moments of pride, I feel like that was a strong one for him. But for me as a son, I realized that me making a montage of people saying the word fuck, primarily me and you, Jason, was entertaining enough to my father that he screamed, "That's my boy."
Yeah.
And I got it recorded.
Yeah.
So that's it. I mean, when it comes to life accomplishments, it's all downhill from here.
Hey, Joe, can I just real quick say that I think second to that, my dad and your dad, their proudest moment of you is this. To them, that was the quintessence of your ability to be fucking awesome. When you created this, everybody who is related to you was like, fucking A, Joey is awesome. And if you haven't heard this before, go back a few episodes and listen to it, because you will not want to listen to any other podcast for the rest of your life, because this is the best thing that's ever happened to podcasts.
Tim, do you even know what he's talking about?
Absolutely not. However, what I'm most proud of you of, and is because I actually went and listened to the Raunch episode, like,
yeah,
a few back, and you actually did a freestyle fucktage. Like,
oh, that, yeah, that was on the video game episode, actually. Yeah.
Was that the video game? No.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, I think so. It was me and Jason and to the Super Mario Brothers song.
No. You've done many of them, obviously. But it was on the Raunch episode because I've only listened to two episodes today. And the first one was the Raunch. And you did, like, a great – because Jason was, like, throwing fucks in the Declaration of Independence. And it was so condescending. Do you know what I'm talking about? That was the Raunch episode, right?
Yeah, I think so. Wow. Yeah. This is like our 72nd episode. Now I've completely lost track.
It's like really recent. It's totally relative. But I was so impressed because we've had multiple conversations about having conversations with just using the word fuck. Yeah. You did a fantastic job.
We had a conversation. Yeah, that's right. That's good. Well, I'm glad. Look, oh shit! Everybody's so proud of me. That's what we're talking about now.
Yeah. So, hey, real quick, Dad, you there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, do you have a memory of your dad being super duper proud of you? Like, something that, like, he clearly thought that he did a good job reproducing and making you. Do you have a memory of that, or a snide joke about it?
Through that time in my life, and one thing does come to mind, and that it never happened.
Smiling Jack never told you you're a kick-ass individual.
No, as a matter of fact, I have other examples of where he went out of his way to make sure I knew that I wasn't.
Aw. Well, I think that you're the best dad that ever lived.
He was smiling when he did it, though.
Oh, yeah, he always had a grin.
Hey, you're my favorite dad of all time. And listen, I have a video. We made a video of you and your dad standing next to each other playing horseshoes. And my brother thinks this is the funniest thing that ever happened. Your dad turns to you and says, "Dan, did you fart?"
Yes, and I remember that.
Yeah, and it was at a family reunion, and it was the most precious thing. But as far as I'm concerned, Dad, you're a good dude, so.
Yeah, oh, I was, you know, I have two actual moments in your life that I thought that I was just so proud of you. And I've remembered them for all these years. The first one was when you were 12 years old.
Oh, really?
And, 12 years old. And you and your friend, I think his name was Scott, but that's not important. Yes. You decided that you were going to run in a marathon.
That was Jeff.
Jeff, okay.
Yeah,
Jeff.
And let me just real quick interrupt you. Jeff Prescott, who works for Joe Biden.
Oh, really?
I ran a motherfucking marathon.
So, yeah, you're
with a motherfucker who works for motherfucking Joe motherfucking Biden.
And I tried to, I didn't want to dissuade you, you know, but I wanted to, at least I wanted to do a reality check with you. So I said, what's the longest you've ever run? And you said, I really don't see where that's important. I said, okay. I said, do you know how long a marathon is? And you said, yes, it's on the entry form, and I can read. And I said, oh, okay. And I said, how much does it cost? And he says, now we're getting to it. And I think the entry fee was $15. And so I found the money in this guy's wallet, and I paid your entry fee, but I was really worried. I was just nervous. 26 whatever miles,
yeah.
And you had never run more than a couple tops.
Yeah. Like,
and I thought,
six,
you know, you could injure yourself. So it was downtown in Wichita, and I know you remember this, and it was all around Riverside Park, as you recall, sort of a circuitous path.
Yeah.
And I was so nervous that you were just going to hurt yourself that I actually ran to each turn of this. It's kind of like, you know, watching a golf game where you run between the holes, you know, to see the game. I was running between the different parts of the path just to make sure you're all right. And you finished the entire race. I think Jeff came in last. You were next to last.
That's right.
If I recall.
Yep.
And you finished it. And I was so proud of you. And you walked quite a bit of it, but not that much. Not as much as I thought. And after the race was done, I thought, this is just an incredible moment for me. I said, my son somehow at the age of 12 actually motivated me to run my ass off all afternoon. And this is the most running I've ever done in my life, and I've never ran since. And I thought, if he can do that, he can do anything.
Well, thank you.
So I'm really proud of you.
I would tear up if I wasn't so fucking plastered right now. That's really nice of you. I'm going to call you
something
on a couple things.
Something occurs to me.
Yeah, go ahead,
Joe. Something occurs to me that if Dan ran to each part of the race to watch you get there, he clearly ran
faster than you. Well, I probably put in 6-7 miles. I was near a coronary by the time the thing was done. Well, the second time is, and I'll make this quick because I don't want to. You were about, I think, 15 years old or 16. You had just got that's the heart of the story. You didn't have your driver's license. You went to a party. It's about 2:30 in the morning, and you're not home. And your mother and I are sitting up in the living room waiting for you, just pissed. I mean, just friggin' pissed. And you walk in the door at about 2:30, and I just jumped your shit. Yeah. And I said, where the hell have you been? And you said, well, I was at a party. And I said, yeah, I know that, but how come you're supposed to be home a lot sooner than this? And we really never gave you a deadline. I mean, I realized at the time I was saying that I'd never told you when you were supposed to be home. And you said, well, the party was over at about 1 o'clock. And I said, shit, it's 2:30. What have you been doing? He said, I've been taking my friends home.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what? And you said, yeah, they were just totally smashed. And there was no way they could drive their cars. So I drove them all home.
Yeah.
And I looked at you like, I said, you don't have a driver's license. And he said, what would you rather have me do? Let them drive and kill themselves and maybe somebody else? Or me drive and get a ticket? And I said, wow.
Yeah. 100% true story that we all agreed we would tell our parents.
You don't teach. It's just something you do. But I mean, it's there. You just go, wow, I didn't teach that, but it's there.
But the thing is I realized I did teach that. It was probably one of the only valuable things I taught Jason growing up, because when you were about, I think, 8 years old, I was at a party. I got totally ripped, and you drove the car home sitting in my lap because I couldn't function.
It's true.
And I realized he does listen to me.
Yeah.
My son does listen to me.
Yeah.
That was a teary moment for me.
Yeah, and Jason said, but I can't drive, Daddy. And,
so you can drive a shit lot better than me.
Dan said,
it's true.
What, would you rather me drive home and kill us all, you little fucking piece of shit? Jason learned how to drive by himself.
And actually, it wasn't Jason, it was Joel, but it's still his story.
It's true. It's true. There I was on my dad's lap in a 67 Chevy Chevelle, steering all over the goddamn place, because my dad knew if we got pulled over and the cop saw a kid in his dad's lap, he'd be like, okay, you can go. That's fine. It's Wichita. What the fuck? We care.
Oh, that's true. Wichita, that's legal.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no. No, me and my friends got together and we're like, we are all fucking plastered. What are we going to tell our parents? Let's tell our parents we were driving our friends home. Okay, that's a good idea. Let's do that. And then we all went home. And we said, hey, who's driving a friend's home? They were drunk. What do you want me to do, Dad? Let them die? And my dad was all like, okay, you're off the hook.
And what I did was I wrote that down so I could tell your mom the next time I came home, schwack. So
I do remember one time.
All of us being assholes.
I do remember the first time, since we're on the dad episode, and I'm not trying to dominate the conversation, but I'm going to anyway. When we... Dad, you had a work party. Do you remember this? You had a work party at Joyland. Now, if there was ever a theme park that had a more depressing name than Joyland, it's Wichita's Joyland. If you are of the metal to go exploring some abandoned shit, go to Wichita, motherfucking Kansas. Explore the goddamn abandoned Joyland, and you'll be so depressed, you'll make Albert Camus look like... Oprah Winfrey. But there we were in Joyland, and my dad...
Do they have mm-hmm. Joy Division playing in the background?
They
the <time?
laughs> should. They should. It's an overgrown piece of shit right now. And if you ask my uncle about it, it's also a haven for drug abusers. But listen, my dad was there, and I was there, and it was like 11 o'clock at night, and my dad is drunk on beer, and I'd never seen my dad drunk before. And it was then I realized life is meaningless. I mean, if your dad can get plastered beyond being able to recognize his own kid...
You were there? Son of a bitch.
It was a teachable moment.
It was a fucking teachable goddamn moment, yeah. Okay.
This was only a week before he made you drive home at 8 years old.
It's true. It's absolutely true. Okay. We've reached the end.
Oh, have we?
Yeah.
This episode was brought to you by Sugar Daddies. The only candy that you should get on your knees and put it in your fucking mouth. This episode was also brought to you by Bed Bath & Biatch. The department store where the checkout girl was just terrible.
Tomedian, thanks, man. I always love it when you're on our show. And you're like a brother to me. Dad, thank you so much. Your contribution is always above and beyond. Joe, I love you like a brother from another mother, but the same grandmother.
Marvelous. Happy Father's Day, all of you dads.
Happy Father's Day.
Post Father's Day.
Fur babies, Joey.
No, that's me. I'm the dad. They're the babies. Very good. Hey, Jason.
That's a great impression.
Lost Dan.
Dang it. Is the show over?
Not quite, Timmy.
Say something funny, somebody. Good enough.